Here we will explore a true fact about Troy Harmon, CFA. In his spare time, Troy Harmon writes poetry about donuts, causing much animosity with his mustache, which is gluten-free.
And we're back on that note. Troy, I got to tell you, you know, wow. I was waiting for the comment on your mustache to come out, and there it was.
Yeah, so. You can learn a lot about things on a radio show, even if you're hosting it. I didn't even know that my mustache was gluten-free, but that is good information.
Explains a lot of problems.
Yeah, it's good to know. It's good to know.
My inner conflict.
There you go. Well, what we're going to talk about next here, and Troy, you and I have been, the last couple of weeks since the new year started, with Bill and Gene being in, they're out of town this week, but we've been covering these case studies and a little bit of a format change, thinking about how we can sort of tell a story of something that we're seeing or that we see often in the context of the planning business that we do. And last week we talked about, we'll assign names to these cases and the facts and circumstances we colored to make the point. But really, last week we talked about Brian. He's a single guy. He's divorced, has a five-year-old son, worked for the same company for 25, 30 years, and was offered an early retirement package to step out early. And he was just under 50 years old. Again, had been with right at 50 years old, had been with the same company for a long time. It happens. You've got here in Metro Atlanta, you've got your AT&Ts, your Lockheed's, your UPS, Coca-Cola type companies.
Right.
And we talked about the issues around that. This week, we've got a little bit different circumstance. We've got Leslie and Kobe. She's 42. He's 49 years old. And what's interesting about this situation is, and Ben, I don't know if you know anybody that's been through this. I do. I've got some friends that have been through a very similar circumstance to this. She's 42, he's 49, and they've got two kids that are within a couple of years of college. So, in middle of high school or one's right there at the end of high school. And then all of a sudden,
oops,
got another one on the way.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff.
Yes.
Happy about it.
Sure.
Not necessarily prepared for it. And it fundamentally has changed their situation. They, in the case study we've got here, again, married, gross income between the two of them is about $197,000. So they both got jobs. They're both W-2 employees. She's the primary breadwinner. But now here we've got a situation where you've got a 17 and a 16-year-old, and now we've got a baby due in September. So there's a lot of stuff that goes along with that. Ben, what's off the top of your head, where do you start to pick up something like a major change like this?
Well, you really have to, this is where financial planning is really critical, because we're not starting out, this is not a couple in their 20s having a child.
That's right.
We're a lot closer to the end game. We thought we were getting out of children, and there are some savings here, and we're assuming, this couple has $700,000-$800,000 in cash, a lot of that's in 401ks. So there are some retirement savings there. This just, Leslie and Kobe have been building assets over time, preparing for retirement, but now they're 42 and 49, and they're closer to the end there, and a child is going to, their source of income, while you mentioned the gross income, in this scenario or this case study, she's the breadwinner with 130, he's making 49, and then they also do a little freelance work on the side with $18,000. Well, you got two jobs, you got a new baby, the freelance work isn't going to be there anymore. So, and then that's kind of the money they've been saving over these years, in addition to some going into their 401k. So, the fact that we have a new child that's going to be expensive. Anybody that's had a baby knows they are expensive, especially when both individuals work. And, child care alone is, I think, more expensive than college these days.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal. We have a decline in income on the savings side. So that's where this planning, planning and financial planning and retirement and what are the goals there, it becomes more important.
Yeah, because the time horizon's changed. Right.
Yes. Well, it has, unless we change our lifestyle.
There you go.
Unless we make changes and look at other things. What can we change to maybe keep on track?
Mm-hmm.
Because, there's spending, savings is going down. Spending is going up. What can we do when we look at this person's situation, you know, to manage that cash flow? What can we do to improve that cash flow so that maybe they can maintain that retirement date? That's, you know, fairly short for Kobe. You know, he's 49.
Sure.
I mean, you know, it's not that far away.
Right.
We look at some of the other details here, and you can see one thing is, you know, their other two children are 16 and 17. They are, you know, they're getting close to being out of the house. They're going to college, right?
Yep.
And then we've got the new baby on the way. We look at their financial situation, and they're living in a $575,000 house that, you know, they've got some equity. There's a $420,000 mortgage. There's a little bit, you know, there's a home equity line that's got some debt on it and a little bit of other debt. And we think about that, and, you know, is there something they can do on that side? Because that's a big expense for them. I mean, it's $2,600, and maybe this isn't something they do immediately, but, you know, maybe to think about a couple of years down the road, do they really need that big of a house?
That's right.
Longer?
Because in theory, if you got two kids that are going to college, depending on where they go and how that's paid for, you've got two moving out.
That's right. So you're down to three people, and there's some equity there, and then that's a pretty big mortgage payment. Mm-hmm. Just for instance, if they sold the house and took the equity out, you know, after the expenses paid off all their debt, they'd have $90,000 left over.
Yep.
Say they go buy a $300,000 house, put their $90,000 on it, their mortgage payment is now $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that's $1,600. That's a big shift.
That's an after-tax $1,600.
And that's right. So, you know, it's looking at those kinds of things. And like I said, this is not a fire sale situation where we have to make a change today. But really to think about the longer term and to think about other ways, you know, that you can improve their cash flow so that they can stay on track for retirement.
Right. Yeah. One of the pieces that I see just right off the bat, Clifford, the son that's going to go to college.
That's
first,
right.
Is, you know, she's his mom is insistent that he go to her alma mater that's an out-of-state school, $21,000 a year. That could be considered, you know, for a bit of a downgrade. You could stay in state.
Well, you could, or you could split the difference. You know, you could go in state and transfer. You know, go 2 years, you still transfer and graduate from your mother's alma mater, and everybody's happy, and you just saved a whole bunch of tuition on the front end.
Yeah, and they've saved through a 529, got $63,000, but you're about to cost $80,000 to get him through 4 years.
It's going to be expensive going on that same track.
Right, that 63 might actually would cover in-state tuition.
And it may be a combination of the two. You know, sure.
So
those are the things.
From a planning perspective.
I just wanted to throw out a few tax things, you know, to think about in this scenario. I mean, what's going to change on the tax front? What do we need to be looking at? Well, first of all, we've got another child. And what does that mean? That means another dependent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you do want to make sure that we account for the little one, and hopefully they're born December 31st, so you can get that dependency exemption in for that year, and then from there. plan that C-section or whatever accordingly.
That's a strange situation,
due
by
date September on this one. So they
okay.
That's going right. to be so, a big baby.
Okay. All right, so how much is the dependency exemption worth? Well, it's $3,950 for last year, okay, for 2014. So that's the deduction. Now, keep in mind, we've had some recent tax law changes that phase out, you know, dependency exemptions at some point. This couple, we don't have to worry about that at their level, but, you know, keep in mind at $300,000 for a joint, or $305,000-ish for a joint couple, dependency exemptions can be phased out. What are some of the other things that come along with children and taxes? Well, dependent care. I want to talk about the dependent care benefit. Mm-hmm. That's a dependent care flexible spending accounts are pretty common with employers these days.
Right.
You can contribute to those at work, and you can set aside up to $5,000 in those accounts. Now, you also have a tax credit you can take for dependent care expenses. Well, just wanted to illustrate, because this comes up a lot with clients. You know, I've got this dependent care account, and, you know, or I could take the credit on my tax return. Which one do I do? Well, let's just look at the numbers and apply it to this situation. If the dependent care tax credit is worth is 20%, you know, over and at lower income levels, it can be a little bit higher. But normally what you'll see is 20% of the first $3,000 of expenses.
Okay.
That's $600.
Yeah.
$600 is what it's worth if you spend, you know, on your tax return, even if you spend $12,000 a year for child care. All right. Now, let's say they have, this couple has available to them a dependent care FSA account. Mm-hmm. And they can put up to $5,000 in it. All right. So if they max that out and they're in the 25% tax bracket based upon their income, then that is worth $1,250 to them.
So that's more beneficial to them.
More beneficial to take that on the employer side. So keep that in mind. I mean, if it's there and you're going to incur those expenses anyway, then you might as well use it if you have one. Now, if you had two children, then, you know, then the difference becomes less because you can. It's not you, at that point you can't put $10,000 into the. It's a $5,000 max.
Sure.
Okay. Now, as far as the other children go, you know, we're on the brink of college expenses. So,
sure.
You know, keep in mind we have some education credits still out there. The most generous of which is the American Opportunity Tax Credit. So that's up to $2,500 tax credit. It's 100% of the first $2,000 and then 25% of the next $2,000 that you spend on qualified tuition, qualified education expenses. So that is a factor in this couple, and there, you know, that can get phased out between $160,000 and $180,000.
Mm-hmm.
We're right in that range, okay?
Yeah.
So something this couple may want to consider is if they can free up some cash flow and increase maybe 401k contributions, they may bring their AGI down low enough so they can take full benefit of that tax credit.
So there's an argument for saving more.
To save more.
To save more.
To get more on the tax side. So those are some of the things that come into play and that they need to pay attention to on that front.
Well, listen, I wanted to, you know, we're in the last segment of the show here, and guys, I just thought it'd be worth wrapping up this case study quickly with a couple of more points. We've covered several things. We've touched on the legitimate concerns around Leslie and Kobe, 42 and 49. She's 42, unexpected pregnancy. They've got two kids about to start college. There's some cash flow issues they need to think about. Financial planning is needed. And it looks like they've been doing a good job planning to this point, but this is a significant life event. It's worth revisiting things that they could do to affect their cash flow, to manage what they're doing differently, to think about how their time horizons just changed. Ben, you just spent a good bit of time in our last segment talking about the realities of some tax strategies that they need to consider.
That's right.
You know, whether it comes to the way they handle tax credits for college, health care and issues around that. So there's a lot of things that they need to be thinking about. I wanted to touch on one real quickly just as a thought that, it came up, it really came up week before last, but in the midst of all the excitement of the new baby, they don't need to forget to think about their estate planning stuff.
That's important. And it's easy to forget that stuff, man.
It is because it's not something that affects your paycheck today.
That's right.
It's not a spending item that's going to make bills tough next week. But it's something that, in our notes we see that the last time they updated their wills and estate planning documents, their youngest child was 10 years old. So Now's the time they need to go back in and evaluate and make sure that stuff is current, appropriate, still represents their wishes as they hope them to be. Things like advanced directives. We've talked about this on the show before. Oftentimes, it's pretty straightforward. If there's a death, the will kicks in. But if you don't die, who's going to care for your children? Who can pay your mortgage? Durable power of attorney, financial powers of attorney. Things of those natures are important to think about, and it just needs to be on the radar. One thing that we had a note here of is that, you know, the guardians that were named for their older children
were named a long time ago, right?
A long time ago, and now you're going to have a newborn. Right. So you may need to think about, you know, are those guardians still going to be spry enough to handle the toddler, right? So,
that's right.
You know, again, it's just good things to think about, and it's worth doing. I know, Troy, we've been talking about the investment stuff. You had some thoughts on their investment thesis and the way they're going about it. They've been picking their own stocks from a recommended list that their advisor's been giving them, and they've averaged about an 8.9% average annual return.
Right, over the past 5 years. The problem that I have with that. Yeah, the problem that I have with that is the market over that same past 5 years is up 15.42%. So yeah, they've left a lot on the table. If you assume one of the notes in here is that Leslie's been making some money on the side, $1,500 a month. I don't know that it's smooth, but if you assume that it was, if she had been making the market return, she would have $21,000 more. And if you think about that number, that would be enough to bridge the gap in that education. I mean, it makes a lot of difference.
Yeah.
You know, if you're just getting a recommended list and you're picking it, I would be interested to see how diversified the portfolio is, you know, what it is that you have in there. Obviously, it's underperformed significantly, the overall market. So that, to me, is an issue that needs to be reviewed as well.
Another one I wanted to point out is these 529 plans. I mean, you know, there's quite a bit of money saved already. You know, and these are for college savings plans, $63,000 for one child, $32,000 for the other. You know, as we get closer, just keep in mind and remember how those investments are structured. Because as we get closer to needing that money to pay for school, you generally want to be a little bit more conservative with that, so that if you do run into a market decline, you're not still in a position, you know, in a position where you're forced to sell. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So it's easy to set those accounts up and invest them one time, and then you just add money to it over the years and you never think about it.
Right.
But, you know, we need to be cognizant of that and the allocation that's involved there.
Sure, absolutely. So, matters a lot.
So there's a lot of things, you know, and it's a great thing. They've got a new addition to the family.
Sure.
Trust everything's going to go well from a health perspective, and, you know, it's just important that they're diligent on the planning stuff and covering a lot of these things. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. You're listening to Money Talks.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.